experience every time that I come, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to get to speak at this church. Amen? As I tell you, I follow pretty much online every week, and I'm not sure if you ever get a chance to go online and listen to the messages that are posted, but there's some awesome messages that we've been hearing. Amen? Amen. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was hoping that I was going to have a video that was going to give me the talking points for my message this morning. I was hoping that the Carolina Panthers would have taken care of business with the Denver Broncos. However, that did not happen. But God knows what he is doing. And I think I have something that most of you would remember coming up. So we've been speaking on the subject of game time. And Pastor Gary have started a series, the first series and the second series. And the first series, he talked to you about first and 10. And in it, he talks about when you are down to your last and there is no timeouts and you see no options and no way out. What do you do? And Pastor Gary has eloquently given us some encouragement as to how we can be able to recover from that when we are down to our minute and 10 seconds. And he gave you the illustration from the game of the New York Giants versus the New England Patriots. That's the only time that I've ever rooted for the Giants, because I'm a diehard Cowboys fan, and you know we don't like the Giants. But I think I hate the Patriots a little bit more than I did hate the Giants. Anyways, so the first one he talked about, first and 10, and the second one he talked about remember. And I think that message is such an important message, especially for us as believers, because oftentimes we go through difficulties in our lives and we forget the blessings that God has been providing for us. And we forget the things that God has been doing in our lives. And it's important that we go back to those memories, those times where God has done some miraculous things in our lives that we can look back and say, if God did it back then, I know that he will be able to do it again. Amen? Amen. Actually, that's a famous song that was sung. I think it's by Shirley Caesar. Other people have sung it before, but he'll do it again. So today, we want to talk to you on the subject of it's not over. It's not over. Now, I'm a huge sports fan. Most people will understand that. My kids will tell you that. That I enjoy every kind of sport there is. Basketball, football, golf. As a matter of fact, my wife walked in the room the other day and she said, tennis too? I'm like, yeah. You know, so I was watching all kinds of sports. And one of the interesting things that I like about sports is you get an opportunity to watch a great game. There's nothing better than being able to sit in front of the television uninterrupted and watching a great game. Amen? You know, one of the other things that's also interesting about that is it's interesting how sports can control our emotions. You know it? When everything is going well, we're on top of the world. When my team, the Dallas Cowboys, is winning, boy, it's a happy house, and I'm feeling good. Everything is going all right. There's nothing else that could go wrong. But the minute they start losing, my emotion just drops, bam, to the tank. And you get angry, agitated. Every kind of emotions just start running through your mind because your favorite team has just lost. And you feel like you just got hit with a ton of brick. But if there's one thing that I dislike the most about sports, it is to sit down and watch a game with a team that I'm rooting for and to invest all of this time to watch the game only to see them lose. Doesn't it feel like a waste of time? I've just wasted my whole afternoon sitting there watching this game, and they didn't even have the decency to win. Sometimes I said, I want my money back, but I'm watching it at home. you know, you want to call the cable company up and say, hey, I need a refund on my statement every month because this game didn't do for me what I wanted it to do. But there's also those times when you're watching a game and you get an opportunity to see an awesome comeback. Now, everybody loves a good comeback story, right? As a matter of fact, I think the 1980s Olympics is probably one of the greatest comeback that we can remember of the team that they made the movie about, Miracle, right? And that was such a great game because nobody expected the United States to win. But they went over there and they did the unthinkable. And they did what nobody else was able to do. They came back and they won. It's very interesting. Well, in the year 2006, as a matter of fact, I got that date wrong. In the year 2013, we had an NBA Finals in South Florida. It was your Miami Heat versus the San Antonio Spurs. Now, this game was a very interesting game because in this game, the Spurs had the second best record in the NBA at that time. And not only did they have the best record in the NBA at that time, their team were playing with people like Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Green. They had a really good team, and this team gave the Miami Heat some trouble. As a matter of fact, they actually was winning and losing each other throughout the season. But it so happened that the Miami was having one of their best seasons that year, and they actually won the NBA Eastern Conference, and they had the most games. So they had home court advantage going against the San Antonio Spurs. How many of you guys remember that game? All right. So here I am sitting in my living room watching the NBA Finals. We're down to game number 6 because Miami and San Antonio were going back and forth. Miami won the first game. There's 7 games. It's a 7-game series. Miami won the first game. San Antonio won the second. Miami came back and won the third. San Antonio won the fourth. And then Miami, I think San Antonio won game 5, actually, also. So now, they're in game 6, and it's a battle. And this game is going down to the wire. And I'm sitting there watching this game, and it was such an interesting game. I want you guys to just take a look with me as I turn to it real quick. All right. There's a reason why I turned that off right there. We just cut the light off real quick. So I'm watching that game, and after Manu Ginobili went and made the free throw shot, San Antonio went up to 93 actually, and they were up by 4 points. Now, the Heat had the ball, and they went down, and LeBron had the ball, and he went to go make a shot, and he went up, and he missed it. And guess who rebounded the ball? Manu Ginobili. And as he's running down, guess what happened? Ray Allen fouled him. Now, this guy is a high percentage free throw shooter. So guess what I did? I did what any reasonably sports fan, fair weather sports fan, would do when you're watching your team down by 4 points, about to be 5 or 6, based on what Manu would do. I clicked the TV off. I just shut that sucker off because I was like, it is done. It is finished. It is over. There is no chance that they could ever come back against the San Antonio Spurs. You ever had one of those moments? You ever had one of those moments where things have gotten so bad in your life that you just feel like, I might as well throw in the towel. I might as well give up. I might as well quit. Because it doesn't make any sense going on, because all of the cards are stacked against me and I'm just finished. It's over for me. It's over for me. There's so many things in our life that we as believers have drawn a conclusion to it, and we have determined that this is the end. I'm done with this. For some of us, it may be the end of a relationship. You may be frustrated with your spouse, and you're just ready to sign the divorce papers because you just feel like, you know what? It is over. For some of you, it may be that you were looking forward to being promoted in this job, and all of a sudden they hired somebody else before you, and you did not get the opportunity to get the job, and you feel like, you know what? I'm never going to be able to get out of this position. I'm going to always be serving chicken and fries. And I'll never be able to move on. I'll never be able to go anywhere in my life. It's over. For some of you, it might be that you were expecting to graduate from high school and you felt like you had all your credits and you were trying out your cap and gown and getting ready to walk, and then your teacher calls you in the office and say, I'm sorry, you don't have all the credits that you need, so you won't be able to graduate. And you feel like it's over. I remember having a moment like that in my life. It was my first year in college. I was going to Kaiser College, studying occupational therapy program there. And I remember I was doing good because I worked in a nursing home and I worked with therapists. So I felt like, you know what? I have all the knowledge that I needed to be able to pass these classes with breeze. And so I went into the class, and the first class I went through, I didn't really pass it that well. I passed it with a C. And then I went on to the next class, and then I passed it with a B. And then I went on to the other class, and then I got an F. And you know, the interesting thing about it was an accelerated program, which means that if you fail one class, you have to start the whole program all the way over again. I felt like it was over. I felt like it was done. I felt like my career was over. For some of you, you may have gotten a bad note from the doctor, and the doctor tells you to call your family. You need to discuss some options with them. It's over for you. We have tried everything that we can do, and I don't believe there's anything else. I think it's over. One of the things that most people do when they feel like things is over, they do exactly what I did when I was watching that game. They quit. And the reason why most of us quit is because we lose hope. You know, the number one reason why most marriages end in divorce is not because of what the other spouse have done. It's really because one person or both come to the conclusion that, you know what? There is no hope. And when you feel like there is no hope, and when you feel like there is no better tomorrow, and when you feel like it is over, guess what you do? You quit. You quit. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John chapter 11. John chapter 11. When you find it, let me hear you say amen. Amen? Amen. Now, today we're going to be reading from an interesting story that happened. It is one of the greatest miracles that is written in the New Testament. It's one of the greatest miracles that Jesus actually did. Now, this was a very interesting story because of the people that were involved in it. And I'm going to walk you through this story, and we're going to be dealing with this subject of it's not over. It's not over. And I want to tell you this, no matter what you're going through in your life, no matter how difficult situation may be, I've got to tell you this, that it is not over. As long as God is in it, the game is not finished. It cannot be over. Now, let me explain a little bit of what happened when you see in the Miami Heat. So here, after Manu Ginobili went down and he made that free throw shot, the Miami Heat went down and they scored. And then they were down by, I think it was 1 point or 2 points. They were down by 2 points. And they went down again to score, and as they went to go to score, they missed. And the time went down to 5.8 seconds. But in the game, Miami had one of the best shooters in the NBA at that time. And his name was none other than Ray Allen. And Ray Allen just stood over in the corner. And he was just waiting. They said that Ray Allen would go to the games and he would shoot over 1,000 three-point shots before the game starts. He practiced this. He waited for this moment. Ray Allen was specialized for this moment. Chris Bosh got the ball and he just passed it over to Ray Allen's in the corner. Ray Allen pulled up. And he didn't even think twice. Swoosh. 3-point shot. Miami went on to win the game. As a matter of fact, Miami went on to win the series. Why? Because when we think that it is over, it's not over. And we're going to read that a little bit. So here, the story of Lazarus we're going to be talking about. And if you read, you will see in chapter 11... we'll be starting to talk about, the Bible says, now there was a certain man who was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Martha who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters went to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now, the interesting thing about this particular passage, when I read it, and I go over it so many times, and I just never really got the concept of what this message was about. But you know what this whole passage is about? This whole passage is actually about a prayer. Because here was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who had an intimate relationship with Jesus. They were very close to Jesus. To where the Bible says that Jesus loved them. He had this wonderful relationship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were friends. They were boys. They were buddies. And something bad happened to Lazarus. And when something bad happened to Lazarus, guess what Mary did and Martha did? They sent to Jesus and they said, Jesus, we need some help. Your friend Lazarus is sick. Happened again, didn't it? He says, your friend Lazarus is sick, and I need you to come over, and I need you to help him. It's okay. Thank you. But the Bible declares that when Jesus heard that, Jesus made a statement, and Jesus said unto them, listen, this sickness is not unto death. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, it's not over. No matter what the doctors tell you, no matter what your situation tells you, no matter what your circumstances tells you, Jesus decided it is not over. Now here's the interesting thing that I want you to understand this morning. God has a purpose through your pain. God has a purpose through the difficulties and the hopelessness that you feel. And God is the source of the healing of your pain that you're going through. And your confidence in God will be the turning point for the healing of your pain. Now, my purpose this morning is to encourage us as believers to put our hope and our confidence in Jesus, because he has the power to turn our hopelessness into hopefulness. So Jesus says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." In other words, what Jesus was saying here to Lazarus, he sent a message over through his servants back to Mary. I think it was a message that he sent back. And not only was he talking to Mary, but he was also talking to the people around him. He was also talking to his disciples. And Jesus said, "You know what? I know that Lazarus is sick. I know that he's going through a difficult time right now. But I got to tell you something. This sickness is not going to be the end of it." In other words, God would often use situation that we think is over in our lives in order to glorify himself and increase our faith. Those are the two main purposes for the sicknesses and the illnesses that we're going through. Now, I'm not telling you that all the time this will happen. I'm not telling you that every sickness you go through that God would do this, because there are some people who get sick and they die. And there are some people who get sick and they never get well. But this particular sickness, this particular illness, God was about to use this illness so that he can bring about his glory, so that he can exercise his power. So what is God actually saying here? One of the things that Jesus is saying here is, when you are a believer, death is not terminal. It sounds like a crazy statement. It sounds like it doesn't really make sense. But if you notice what Jesus says to him, Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Now, look at verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and Mary, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was." Wait a second. Didn't it just say that Jesus loved Lazarus? And here is Lazarus on his sick bed getting ready to die. And Jesus decide, "I'm just going to stay a little bit longer." One of the things that you have to understand, especially as a Christian and as a believer, is you can be the best Christian that there is. You can be in church every Sunday. You can read your Bible as often as you can, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you will not have situations that are hopeless. And it doesn't mean that you won't go through some things in your life that will destroy you. But if you look at what Jesus is, the solution that Jesus is offering here, Jesus is saying, listen, this sickness is not unto death. Your death is not going to be final. Now, Jesus had a very interesting thing here where he talked about death. So Jesus told them, "Your sickness is not unto death." But look down to verse number 8. "The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again.'" As a matter of fact, Jesus was telling them that, listen, Lazarus is sick, and we're going to go over there a little bit later on. And the disciples are trying to discourage him for go there. And then Jesus goes down to verse number 9, and he says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not with him." These are the things that he said. And after that, he said unto them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to wake him up." In other words, Lazarus is dead. So wait a second, Jesus, you just told us a few verses ago that this sickness is not unto death. But how is it that now Lazarus is dead? You have a situation in your life that you're praying about, that you're begging God to help you with, to deliver you. A situation that you feel is over, and then all of a sudden, the situation gets worse. You've prayed, you've fasted, you have done everything that you possibly can, and the situation did not get any better. As a matter of fact, it got worse. For Lazarus, it got worse because Jesus decided to delay. And when Jesus delayed, now it said that Lazarus is dead. But Jesus says, now I'm going to wake him up. Now, here's a theology that I want you to understand here. Whenever it comes to a believer, you would never see in the New Testament where they're actually mentioning death and a believer together. What they would usually say when it comes to a believer is that a believer falls asleep. Because Paul said to be absent from the